Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me, not only in spirit, but also in body, is Benjamin Solak.
You love it when we're together. Because
it's so much fun.
I also like the, when we're together, I get blown out on the entrances less than I do when we're apart.
This is
when
true, because I can't yell on the entrances now.
Yeah, because we're here where?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Why are we here?
The 2020 NFL Scouting Combine.
On Radio Row?
On Radio Row. Wow. On location. Surrounded. I'm going to start all the podcasts saying that we are on location.
APA style. Indianapolis in IN. Indiana is IN, I think, probably. Anyway.
Shows what kind of journalism school you went to.
Yeah, but yeah, we're surrounded by professionals, and we have to act like we do a real podcast where we are professionals.
Yeah, we got to blend in here. So a way we're going to do that is, Ben, we have one more position group that we have to recap.
One.
Yes.
Defensive backs.
Oh, I thought you were literally like pausing me. Like Ben put his finger up almost like to shush me, and I was like,
almost like how numbers work?
Yeah.
With like a single finger.
No, now I follow you. Okay. So we're gonna be previewing defensive backs on this podcast. So we get you guys fully scoped for everything that you're going to see in Indianapolis. We finish what we started, if you will, but really excited about everything that's going to be going on this week, not just on this podcast, but everything the Draft Network has going on. We're going to be doing all kinds of different mocks and board updates, articles, and player interviews, and man, it's just going to be, this is without a doubt one of the busiest, most fun weeks of the season, the draft season, if you will. If you are not a premium TDN member by this point, I guarantee that if you were within the sound of my voice, you will be. So why not just get in on it on the early parts of the week, am I right?
If you are not a premium subscriber, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
He is mad.
And I'm also mad.
Yeah, he's mad.
And I'm disappointed.
Okay, sure. Ben, we have the offensive guys who are coming up today, which we're recording this podcast on Tuesday. But we got to talk about the guys that we're going to be seeing in about a week, because that's where we are in the prospect profiles that we're previewing. Wow, a lot of P's there.
Prospect profiles that we're previewing.
Yes.
The pair of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the podcast.
It would have paradigm shift that was.
I could go all day.
Parachute. Peacocks.
Perennial.
Okay.
Papua New Guinea. Platypus.
No, I can't. Periodical. I can't name any other words
okay,
that start
who's
with
the
P.
Who's a defensive back of the name that starts with P? So we can transition.
Mitchell Parham.
That, who's that?
Is a tight end from Stetson.
That's
year.
Donald Parham.
Oh, shoot.
And now he's Roughnecks great, right? Roughnecks, Houston?
Somewhere in the XFL balling out.
Either way, I always knew all along.
Ben, the defensive back class, when people ask, like, hey, what are some strengths and weaknesses of this overall class? I feel like I say corner quite a bit because of the guys that are at the top, because of the impact players that we could get at the cornerback position. We'll get into safeties a little bit, but as it pertains to the corners in this group, when you look at how you're going to judge them here this week, guys that you're really looking forward to for a variety of different reasons, mm-hmm. Where does it start for you in this cornerback class?
So you know how people say, you know, like, you know, surround yourself with smart people who argue with you, and like the best like front offices are built with like a lot of conflicting minds and whatever, right?
That's why we're a good podcast duo.
Right,
and I hate every opinion that you
and
have.
And that's why TDN is so good, because we all hate each other's opinions. To wit point,
it's like iron sharpening iron, yeah, but then like to stab you.
Yeah, but to later. Be angry.
Yeah.
But to this point, we've been together for like exactly an hour, and on the escalator up to picking up our media credentials, me, Jonah, and Joe are arguing about how fast Jalen Johnson's going to run. Right, and so I think what interests me for a lot of these corners, and I made a couple of these jokes previously, Christian Fulton, Damon Arnett, not Damon, whose name I pronounced incorrectly the entire show on Friday, so Damon Arnett, a guy like Trevon Diggs.
If he gets in trouble, could we call him Demon?
I don't think so, but we'll ask him.
Okay.
Jalen Johnson out of Utah. A lot of these guys, it's very important that they have good 40s, because it's unclear just how good they are in terms of long speed. And your long speed, and you know, talking about what matters and what doesn't, your long speed does matter at the corner position when you're going to be playing on the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the event that you miss your press, and occasionally you will, the route runners in the NFL are kind of good, Trevor.
Not all of them.
You're going to need to be able to turn and run. And so for some of these guys who project to be playing on the line of scrimmage, like Damon Arnett, like Jalen Johnson, how fast you are. Christian Fulton's another guy who I don't think is super fast. I just need you to not be prohibitively slow, right? Which is what we've talked about before. Don't be below a floor of being able to recover.
Yeah. Cam Dantzler's another one of those guys, I think. You know, he's got the longer profile.
I don't get why people like Cam Dantzler.
Well, he's got the longer profile, and I think that any time that you are above the 6'1 threshold, if you will, of playing cornerback, you've got the length, you've got the size, you can match up against outside receivers, and people will always give you a chance. Mm-hmm. We see this year after year. And I think with Cam Dantzler, to throw in that group of guys that you named there, he's a guy who I think the combine's really important to, because if he's fast, yep, he can prove it, and he can make a lot of money this week. Now, I think you're not alone in thinking, like, there's a lot of guys that just don't think he's athlete enough, because, you know, the other side of the coin is that every year we try to make some of these longer corners these top 50 potential players, right, and they just can't keep up.
And the thing with Dantzler is, like, Dantzler, in terms of a length perspective, in terms of a playstyle perspective, seems like one of these guys who's like 6'2", 6'3", 210, 205.
Yeah.
He's like 6'2", 6'3",
185.
185.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to have tight transitions, which I'm of the opinion that he does, at least be big enough such that you really displace a guy when you make contact with him.
Sure.
But he doesn't have that, and then he doesn't have tight transition. He doesn't have loose transitions at a smaller weight. So he doesn't really make sense for me from like a skills match the traits perspective. But anyway, guys who are going to test really well. The first guy who jumps off, like, the list when you scroll through corners specifically, is one of, I'm assuming, your dudes, Chomp Chomp, CJ Henderson.
He's going to blow it up.
I think
he's
going to be wicked quick, wicked fast.
He's an athlete, man.
We know Jeff Gladney was a Feldman freak, inappropriately. So that's the TCU corner, who's going to likely be extremely explosive and extremely nimble. He's going to look great in positional drills, because when he doesn't have to react to movement, his foot fire and his flexibility is really going to impress. I don't like it as much when he's got a wide receiver in front of him, but from a traits perspective, he's really got it. Troy Pride Jr. out of Notre Dame.
He's all expect to fly. So many of these guys are former track sprinters. Man.
Javelin Guidry, who's the kid out of Utah who played nickel and maybe safety for them. I don't even know if the combine is going to run him as a corner, run him as a safety. He's another potential 4-3 guy. And so that actually helps us transition a little bit to the safety class. Those are the guys that you expect to be the fastest. And then I'm really excited to see what we get in terms of the size and the density of some of these bigger guys, like a Damon Arnett, like Lamar Jackson, like a Jerron Bryant out of Fresno, who I've always liked. Those are also the guys you want to see have just good measurables, good size, that they clear floors for some of those teams who like those on-the-line cover guys.
I think Noah Igbinoghene is going to have a great week.
I should have talked about Noah Igbinoghene.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's
and Harrison Hand,
former,
the Temple kid.
I mean, Igbinoghene is a former state champion, I believe, in like long jump and like all, like, so it's his 40 is what a lot of people have talked about, but when I was doing some background information on his track record, it was the jumps that I think was winning him state titles. And, you know, he's a son of some track athletes himself. And so
Noah Igbinoghene.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Really appreciate it. This is going to be the last episode that Ben does. So he's just another guy that I would add to that list. Trayvon Diggs, I think it's we need to throw his name in there just because he is viewed by some as a top 50 guy.
I was doing some of Diggs' film last night. He needs to run fast because his game is supposed to be predicated on being this really good athlete, and he's got long strides, and I just haven't really seen him open the tank. I know people are like, oh, he's slow. I just really don't feel like I've seen him in true recovery
yet. I don't think he's slow.
But anyway, so it's important for him, especially being a long strider like he is,
really
being high cut.
I don't think that he's slow, just because, remember, he went into Alabama as an athlete, right? He only settled into the cornerback position, a year and a half ago, two years ago?
He was picking up jet sweeps for them, you know what I mean? I don't think he lacks explosiveness,
right,
so I agree. Yeah.
So that's an important one to watch out for. Anybody else from corner before we transition?
Well, I was going to say, I think the overall player who has the biggest week in terms of
their
stock.
Needs to have the biggest week or will have the biggest week?
It's like, it's the most, this week matters more for them than any other player. Belongs to the safety class. And I think it's Grant Delpit at LSU. Two reasons.
Oh, sure.
One, as I think we've theorized on this podcast before, but if we haven't, I'll put it out there. Delpit's tackling fell off the cliff after a 2018 collarbone injury and a subsequent shoulder surgery. I'm concerned that there's existing issues there that will be revealed during the medical checks, which are coming for defensive backs within the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So number one, Delpit needs to have clean medicals so that the tackling thing is like a want-to issue or it's like a technique issue and it's not necessarily an actual physical issue. Then number two, you had a disappointing 2019 season relative to your 2018 tape. Bad news. Now you're in danger of not being the top safety, not being a top two safety off the board. Go back to what really makes you exciting, which is your athletic ability. Come in truly at 6'2". Come in truly with good length. Have, you know, 32, 33-inch arms. And then run a great 40. And have, I think he can run a really nice 3-cone if his technique is right, because he's high-waisted, but he's super fluid. Do those things and remind us why at one point we were talking about you as, oh, he's going to be picked where Derwin James was picked, or he's going to be picked top 16.
Right. He was my number one player going into the summer. He was. Because I watched his sophomore film, and I was like, this is an impact guy on in every single way that you would want a safety to be.
Right.
So, and I think it's important that, at least to what you were saying there, there was some questionable tackling, certainly, in his 2019. Just questionable physicality. I just think that he did not look like the same player, but remind us all of why we thought you had the high ceiling. You know, like, we've seen what's on tape, and that's – we've spoken about how that was a little bit disappointing this year, but if you come out and you just, you're a great athlete, we're going to forget a lot of
and
that.
If you call the top of the safety class, him, Xavier McKinney from Bama, Ashton Davis out of Cal, Kyle Duggar out of Lenoir Ryan, some of those four, the only one who's going to potentially run
Antoine Winfield slander.
The only one who's going to potentially run as fast as Delpit was Ashton Davis.
Yes.
He's probably going to be faster, who's not and he's not out. Running.
Right.
So now you have a big opportunity here to really say, listen, Duggar's a good athlete for the box. McKinney's a good athlete for the box. I'm a good athlete for the roof. And the roof is what matters to NFL teams early.
Oh, you
gotta
be able
to
question.
Play up high. And so, for me, Delpit has a massive week if he's going to recover some of the stock he's lost in the safety class.
Yeah, I brought up Antoine Winfield Jr., and I wanted to talk a little bit about him.
We talked about him this morning as well.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a player who... there's a lot of stuff to like on his tape. I think he's smart. He's pretty instinctual. But it's just a matter of, can he get from point A to point B? Like, I have no reservations on whether he can recognize things, whether in deep coverage, whether helping near the box, whether, like, whatever. It's special teams even. No matter what, I think that he can process, recognize, and he's a really smart player. And that is very important when it comes to playing safety. It's just a matter of, can he get from point A to point B, right? When he sees things on the field, when he sees that quarterback dial it up for the sideline and he's playing a center field role, can he put that foot in the ground and get from where he is to where he needs to go to make an impact on the ball? Not just an impact on the play, because that's important too. Some safeties can get around when the ball arrives. When you pick a safety high, they need to be able to get there beforehand. They need to be able to get there when the ball arrives so they can get takeaways. That's what's really, really important. I like Antoine Winfield Jr. Can he show that he has the speed to be able to make an impact on the ball in a lot of different rangy ways? That's kind of my thoughts.
Right, and everybody likes to harp on me because I'm lower on Winfield. And I'll tell you, when I watch Winfield, I do not see a great athlete for the position. I do not expect him to test anywhere above.
You think he's stiff or you just think he's slow?
I think he's slow and I think he's not particularly fluid. I think he's like average to like decent, right? And if he tests average to decent, he won't move on my board, right? If he comes down here and blows out of the water, which I don't think anybody expects him to, then I'll go back. But even if he times a little faster, or he you know, he has a better short shuttle than I thought he was going to, or whatever, I don't see a player who has starting caliber NFL athleticism from single high.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you're a bad player. It just means the value you bring at the safety position is not that of what you could get out of Grant Delpit, Ashton Davis, who are going to be ranked higher because they have the potential to fill a far more impactful role.
Any sleeper safeties?
Jeremy Chin.
You were so ready for that.
Out of Southern Illinois.
What if I didn't ask that question?
Oh, please. I was sitting on it.
Right,
some sleepers, Ben?
But if I just started to end the podcast right there,
I would have screamed Jeremy Chin. Southern Illinois. What's the mascot, Trevor?
All right, everybody. Really appreciate you guys listening to this episode of this.
You know what a Saluki is? Some sort of hound dog. So, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Jeremy Chin.
RIP.
3-2-10 safety, sir. Mm-hmm. Talked with Jeremy Chin at the Senior Bowl. I was like, why are you so big in playing safety? He's like, because I was small in high school, and then when I was a senior, my body was like, what if we kept growing? And I was like, fucking sick, sounds great. And so he sprouted through his freshman year of college. All of a sudden, he's this massive safety prospect. He can play over number two, he can play over number three, he can play over tight ends, and then he's successful in the box, and he can run, and he can fill, and he can blitz. He's a great tackler moving down into space. He's, I think... the way I put it at the Senior Bowl was, everybody loves Kyle Duggar. I'm there with you. But I've yet to see Kyle Duggar do a thing that Jeremy Chin can't do. And I think Chin's going to test really well. I think Duggar's going to test really well.
Do you think Chin's going to test better than Duggar?
No. But I think Chin's going to test well, especially for the size that he's going to come in at. So I like him a lot to be a good tester here and to be a riser. And listen, if I can get him at a round discount of Kyle Duggar, screw it. Let's do it.
All right, Ben got his Jeremy Chin thoughts in.
Thank goodness.
He was.
Now we can end the podcast.
Jones in for it.
Now we can end the podcast.
All right, everybody, we got to get out of here because interviews are about to start here on a Tuesday morning. Very excited about everything that we have going on over at the Draft Network this week. Like I said before, mock drafts, player rankings, player interviews, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be interacting with the Premium Slack channel. We're going to be giving information there first. So, again, if you're not a Premium Slack or just a TDM Premium member, what are you doing with your life? If there were any week for you to become a TDN Premium member, Ben, this is the week, is it not?
Yes, but also I feel the same way about next week and every week following.
Oh, man, getting ahead of yourself, but I think I agree with you.
Right, so do it this week, because if you don't, it's the worst decision you've ever made.
It but is also, paramount.
I'm going to feel the same way next Monday. Tuesday. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that for the people that already knew that on the podcast. On tomorrow's podcast, Ben and I are going to be drafting athletic participants for all the positions. Very, very excited about that. Excited to own Ben in yet another betting area.
And pretend we never get any wrong.
Then, of course, after that, we're going to be recapping every day that we're here. Yep. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So stick around, guys. Thanks for listening to us during the combine. We really appreciate it. We know there's a ton of different podcasts, but we're going to make this one a lot of fun. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.